Marley and the Wailers, War, Mona Haydar, Hijabi, and Navasha Dea, I Too Dream of Beautiful Things, featuring Alan Johnson. We love to hear from you. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can listen to all of our shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On The Ground Show. I'm trying to get up our likes. We got to get up to 500 likes. I know there are 500 people on Facebook listening to the show. I'm Esther Avarum. I'll be at the Oneness Festival tomorrow, sharing space with the Urban Herbalist and the Pieces Collective. Keep raising your voice out there. Peace.
KBOO Community Radio is always looking for ways people can work with us and support us. KBOO has a wish list, and we'd love help getting some of those items donated. Some things on our list include a color printer, digital recorders, a pop-up canopy, dishwashing detergent, brooms and mops, or services like roofing, plumbing, and electrical work. Please contact station co-manager Delphine at del@kboo.org or go to kboo.fm/kboo's wishlist for more information about supporting your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film tomorrow on Thursday, July 13th at 7 p.m. The documentary Tomorrow sets out to showcase alternative and creative ways of viewing agriculture, economics, energy, and education. It offers constructive solutions to act on a local level to make a difference on a global level. Instead of showing all the worst that can happen, this documentary focuses on the people suggesting solutions and their actions. Again, that's a film screening of the documentary Tomorrow, Thursday, July 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. and coming up right now is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre. Keep it locked right here.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 30th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. And don't forget, Blues Festival weekend, be there, come down to the KBOO booth. Say hello. If you're not already sitting there at the booth, you could leap up, rush around the booth. And if you're fast enough, you could say hello to yourself. But you have to be fast to do that. So weather, you'll never miss it till it's gone. It's going fast now, people. Let's take a look at the whole weekend. Basically, hot and sunny, as it is oftentimes for the Blues Festival. Can't say the same for the Rose Festival. It usually gets bucketed upon. So for the next few days, sunny with a high around 84 for today. And tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 57. Mostly sunny for Saturday with a high around 80. Saturday night, partially overcast skies with lows around 58, and Sunday partly sunny, highs around 78, and partly cloudy overnight, lows around 55, bringing us full circle to Monday morning. So not too bad, not too hot, kind of a balmy 80s feel to it. But nonetheless, get out there. Remember, too, that KBOO is the station that started the Blues Festival long, long ago. We're going to be speaking today with Ed Fallon of Bold Iowa and at the Fallon Forum. We want to remember the old days when getting your case to the Supreme Court was a victory, because there, at last, at least, finally, justice would win the day. Well, that day has died, so we need to all dig in now and work our whatnots off to keep eminent domain away from Trump's Supreme Court. It would be a disaster if these eminent domain cases ever did reach the Supreme Court, because you know just exactly what that would mean. Eminent domain is really a singularity here. It is a point of no return in many respects. It's odd that the forces that seek to privatize absolutely everything have no regard for individuals' efforts to keep their own property private and keep the government off their property, especially in those cases when that property has a great value. Two, wait for it. Yes, of course, the private sector. This eminent domain is the area in which it is most clear, most starkly obvious that the government is in the business of protecting corporate interests. And on that note, there's so much going on right now in Iowa, and it's being so soundly ignored by mainstream media that it's time to talk to Ed Fallon. I mean, what else are you going to do? Good morning, Ed.
Oh, hi, Chris. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much. How are you? Are you still on your feet, awake, and still fighting? I mean, you were...
Yeah. Actually, it's funny timing, actually, because my daughter, who lives in Portland, Oregon, is here visiting, and... she's on a 10-mile run, and I just got done accompanying her on that on my bike.
So. Yeah, well, you're unstoppable. We can just say that.
Well, I try hard anyway. Yeah, yeah. So, and we're still fighting this pipeline. They started running oil earlier this month, but we've got several things happening that are continuing to slow them down, and also, especially as you talked about eminent domain. That court case is huge, and that it continues to build interest. It'll probably be before the Iowa Supreme Court later this year, early next year, and we have some confidence that it could go our way.
But we don't want to. It would be a disaster if it got to Trump's Supreme Court, because then, of course, John Roberts, Neil Gorsuch, and all the rest of the conservative cohorts would certainly rule on the side of corporate interests.
Well, it's the Iowa Supreme Court, so
Iowa's different, very different. But
we have a better balance of interest here,
I'll say,
than on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. So the trial is Heather Pearson's trial. Not today, is it's been moved.
Oh, Heather. Heather Pearson is a pipeline fighter who was arrested on land owned by a farmer who didn't want the pipeline and wanted us there. We actually set up the farmer's defense camp there to fight the pipeline. And this farmer actually had a sign saying, Dakota Access not welcome, pipeline opponents welcome. And so that case was going to happen today, but they postponed it till next week because they realized it's going to be at least a two-day case. And that's before district court.
Uh-huh.
And the real question is, are you able to be arrested on somebody's land when you're actually welcome to be there? And the other angle there is Heather handed the arresting officer a copy of the Iowa climate statement. This is a statement signed by 180 climate scientists in Iowa. Yeah, we have that many here. And it says basically that, Heather says, I was justified in being here because of the emergency of climate change.
Yeah, it is an emergency. And this is the thing Americans are very slow to respond to, this kind of an emergency, and yet nothing gets an American's heart going pitter-pat and a big bang type of an emergency. That really right. is exciting. So yeah. you can pretty much get arrested on your own property for defending it.
Yeah, I was arrested on a landowner's property with her. She was arrested as well. It's a different landowner. It's crazy what it's come to. And right now, most Americans are opposed to this sort of behavior. Even, you know, and I'm finding, maybe it's different in Oregon, but I'm finding here even conservative Republicans who voted for Trump understand that the climate is changing. They understand we've got to do something. They don't, maybe they can't agree with me as to why it's happening, and I don't even care anymore. As long as we agree that we need to do something, that's where I want to start from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you have to. That's where we all have to understand that it doesn't matter. Don't even try to talk to them. Just get out there and make a difference. I wanted to ask you more about eminent domain. It makes a big difference, but perhaps more in Iowa and farming, an agricultural state, than anywhere else. And I'm wondering what presence you've seen the mainstream media, I would expect, with these questions of such huge import, that all the big guys in national media and their affiliates would have nonstop coverage, because this is a huge story.
Well, it took them a while to realize it was. I mean, we were fighting this pipeline in Iowa long before Standing Rock gained national attention, but once that happened, there was more interest. And, you know, the value, I mean, right now, especially under President Trump and giving carte blanche to all fossil fuel expansion projects, you know, there's nearly every state is feeling some pressure, whether it's a pipeline or fracking or frack sand mining or who knows what. There's pressure everywhere, and a lot of it involves condemning land. So the whole eminent domain conversation is important. And the unity we get to share over these common battles on stopping these expansions is really important, that we, you know, keep dialoguing and enlightening each other as to what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. So there is that, and I guess this is the intellectual environment out of which is most likely to come the next stage of resistance, because marching is great and everybody needs to keep doing that, but we got to come up with something else, take it to a different level. I think the time has definitely come. I want to ask you too about this private security. The Tagaswan people are murky as hell, and they've been out your way. What is their actual? Do they have any real legality? How do they function as alongside, say, state police? And what's their relationship with your Bold Iowa work?
Well, it's really their relationship with law enforcement really varies from county to county, and some counties were like, "Yeah, we're not going to cooperate with you. You know, we'll do this minimum amount of work that we're supposed to do by law, but we're not going to become an arm of your security force." So, my hat's off to those law enforcement officials with integrity. But what happened recently? I mean, just yesterday, in fact, this is breaking news. North Dakota refused to give Tiger Swan a license. You need a license if you're a security or a private investigative type firm, and they didn't get one. So they operated in North Dakota, you know, beating up on the Standing Rock Sioux and their allies without a license. They were illegally doing all that. And so I decided to find out what their status was in Iowa, and they basically started working here in probably August of last year, and that's demonstrated by the reports released by The Intercept. And they didn't apply for a license until November 28th, and they weren't issued one till February 1st. And so for that whole period of time, they were operating here illegally, and the penalty here is a serious misdemeanor. And we're going to pursue that. And there may be consequences not just for Tiger Swan, but also for Dakota Access. There may be consequences in a favorable way for those of us who are arrested and fined. If Tiger Swan officials participated in those actions, then there's some question as to whether that was a legal arrest. So there's still a big chapter to be written on that subject here and in North Dakota as well.
I think, too, just one last question, more on a national stage, and it is indeed one of those comedy tragedy stages now with the idea of a sitting president using Twitter as his main vehicle for expressing himself, and then expressing himself in such crude, vulgar terms. It is a little bit astonishing. Other things that are astonishing is Tom Perez as the head of the DNC, the chairman of the Democrat National Committee, and that's pretty amazing too. This is the kind of thing people I would expect, and I would pay close attention to. He's being forced out now.
Tom Perez is? That's news to me.
He's being asked the subject of his resignation has come up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's news to me.
In Iowa, what kind of response do you see coming down this pipeline, no pun intended?
What kind of response?
Yeah, because I know that in Iowa, Tom Perez, I believe he was pretty unpopular in Iowa.
Yeah. You're asking about the pipeline, Chris, right?
Yeah, I'm asking about him being forced out. Is this going? How is this going to affect resistance there? Do you see any change? We're pretty much out of time. Before we let you go, to ask you ask for final thoughts on the pipeline and on Tiger Swan and these trials that are going ahead in imminent domain. How do you what do you want to leave people thinking about?
Chances are, if you live in the USA today, you've got a fossil fuel fight near you, whether it's a refinery or a pipeline proposed or expanded or fracking. You've got a fight near you, and don't give up. Do everything you can with nonviolent means. Help elect the right candidate.